God like thee, who is so rich in grace that is so free for all of us. The one that has called us to be his, not because of our righteousness, not because of the things we did, not because we earned it, not because we worked for it. This God is a great God. This God is a great God. Please be seated. I want to start by thanking my father, the Archbishop, in absentia. He was here actually at the 7:30 service where he had to go to do other things to the glory of God, as well as my presbyter, who gave me this opportunity to talk on this Palm Sunday. I want to thank the ministers of the gospel who have been backing me up in prayers, the stewards, the choir, my loving choir, the ushers, the hallelujah. I'm sure the media, who will do so well today, I believe you will do so well in Jesus' name. And every member of this congregation who has come to receive from God this Palm Sunday, may you have a triumphant life in Jesus' name. I want us to sing this song. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us through. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come. Father, let your words of life, let your words of hope, let your word impart in our life the world that changes life, the world that we have come to receive with open hearts. Father, let these ancient words impart in our lives. Let this word impart to give us triumphant living. Father, make my tongue like that of the learned. Help me to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Help me to speak the word in season to everyone that is here that needs to hear from you. Let your word change our lives. Let your word fulfill our purposes and our destinies. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Brethren, today is Palm Sunday. I don't know if you are here with your palms. If you are here with your palms, please wave it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We call today the day of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And today God has a message for all of us. I want the media to go to Philippians chapter 2. It's one of the places we were to read today in the lectionary. Media, Philippians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 5 to 9. Well, media, yes, you are there. God bless you. And I want everyone to read it together because it wasn't read. So can we start verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. This is the word of the Lord. So today the message for us is having the triumphant mind of Christ. Can we say to each other, having the triumphant mind of Christ? Having the triumphant mind of Christ. And it's taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, that said, let that mind be in you. Let that mind, which mind? That mind that was also in Christ Jesus. So we are today being told that we have that mind of Christ, that mind that was triumphant. Because today we are celebrating the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. I know that all of us are aware, we are aware that this Jesus' time of going to Jerusalem was different from the other times that he had gone to Jerusalem. This was a significant trip. It was also remarkable, as it was an event that prepared him for his eventual suffering as well as death, so as to redeem us. It was also significant because it established the kingship of Jesus over us as the Savior who saves us through spiritual means. Remember, the Jews, we are expecting the king who will come as a warrior, who will come as a fighter. But here we see a king that is coming in a humble way. A king that is not coming through political force. This triumphant entry signifies the authority that Jesus has. Because at that place, during that entry, which we are celebrating today, we saw him establish authority. He went into the temple. In fact, even those that were doing the wrong things in the temple, he chased them out. And he established and told them what was to be done in the temple. We saw people recognizing him and shouting, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. They said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The authority of Jesus was established. I want you to know that for you to become triumphant, you must have undergone some period of struggling, some period of conflict, some period of pain, some period of suffering, and you have overcome them. For Jesus to have gone into Jerusalem triumphantly, there were a lot of things that could have stood against him. And actually, we are standing against him. And for him to triumph and have victory and get that crown and victory over death, there were sufferings to come. There were pains that came. And there were conflicts. Therefore, to become triumphant in our own life, we need to have that triumphant mind of Christ. Because where we read, after Jesus had that mind, it was the mind that he adopted that now made the word of God to say, wherefore the Lord exalted his name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. I want to tell you something. Your mind is the epicenter of your intentions. It is the epicenter of your life. It is your mind that brings out the actions that you do in life. It is your actions that comes from you are all controlled by the mind. So if you don't have the right mind, you will not have the right results. Tell your neighbor, if you don't have the right mind, you will never have the right results.
Jesus had a mind that made it that at the end, what happened? At his name, every knee shall bow. And that's the mind that we are being told today. God is telling us, let that mind be in you. And what was this mind?
Jesus had a mind of humility.
This we can see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. We'll just look at that and then we'll pull out the mind that Jesus had, which we are to have.
Philippians 2, media 7 to 8.
But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Please just leave this there, 7 to 9, until I tell you where to move.
Jesus had a mind full of humility. A mind that made him to accept to hear from God and not assert his rights.
Remember who he is.
But he decided to come down, to not to assert his rights. If it is us today, if God was telling us, my daughter, this is what I really want you to do. You have to do it this way. You will start asking him some questions at times. We do it. We argue with God. Why should I come and die for these people? Why should I come? And in fact, is there no other way? All the lambs they have been killing, you've been forgiven. Why must it be myself now that will be that lamb that will take away the sins of the world? But you see Jesus humbling himself. And that's why if you go to Isaiah 42 verse 3, it says that a bruised reed shall he not break. Jesus came with all form of humility. He said, even a smoking flax he will not quench. You can imagine when a bruised reed, a reed is very tiny, a bruised one, not even a strong one, yet he will not break it. Because of how gentle, how humble, how lowly he put himself because of you and me.
Jesus had a mind that was focused on achieving his set purpose. He took the position of a bond servant. He laid aside his divine form so as to redeem man. Let's go to Isaiah 50 verse 7 that we read today. Isaiah 50 verse 7 said, therefore I have set my face like a flint. He was focused. He knew exactly what he wanted.
Jesus also had a mind that epitomized love. A great love that led to his sacrificing himself for me and you. To take up my sins. That's why I love the song we sang. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Who is a pardoning God like Jesus? Who has grace so rich and free? The grace to set away, to put away my sins, my past life, and just throw it away and forget it, and bring me into a new life, a new version of me, a life that speaks Christ, a life that speaks for Christ, a life that lives for Christ, a life that says, without Christ, I am nothing. That's this great love he had for you and me. A love that carried all my sins. When I look back at my own life, and I'm sure all of you here, we all had a past. How big was that past? How great was that past? How was your sinful life? What did Jesus do in your life? If you can sit back and look at your life, you understand why you should rejoice today on this triumphant entry.
Jesus had a mind that was fixed on the power of God. In Psalm 31, verse 14 that we read today, he said he will trust in the Lord. I don't know how you will live your life, and you think you will triumph over the struggles of life, the problems of life, the sins that easily beset you if you do not trust in the Lord. Jesus had a mind that was fixed with faith and courage. Also in that same Isaiah 50, verse 6 and 7, we saw how he, you know, in fact, if we, media, let's go to Isaiah. Oh, thank you, media. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I don't know we women. Okay, let's look at the men. Try and use your hand to pluck out just one of your beard. Just a line. I don't know if it's so sweet or if it's painful. Is it sweet or painful? Ah, but see what Jesus did. He just turned his cheeks and gave to them that plucked off their hair. I hid all my face from shame and spitting. Verse 7, please. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Jesus went through all these pains for us. He was riding on that small donkey, entering Jerusalem, preparing himself for what he went through, for them to slap him, for them to spit on him, just because of me, just because of you, just because of all of us. I don't know who this message is for. Do you realize what God has done for you? Do you understand the extent that Jesus went so that you can be his, so that you can be reconciled to God? Do you understand why he rode into Jerusalem? Do you understand why he came as a lonely person to fight this battle for you? Not as one that will bring terror, not as a king that will come to conquer and kill and destroy, but he came so that you will have life and have it abundantly. The life that comes through him. Jesus had a mind that was conscious of God's reward and not man's praise. See, when he was riding, we all have our palm fronts. Can we raise it again? We saw people throwing their clothes, throwing these palm fronts on the floor. And you know us, the pride of life. By the time you see people worshiping you, praising you, what happens to your life? But Jesus did not look at that, because he knew that those same people that were throwing their clothes, that were throwing the palm fronts, were the same ones that will shout, crucify him, crucify him. So, the mind of Christ is a mind that's conscious of God's reward and not of men's praises. Jesus had an obedient mind. He said, a mind that was obedient till death. What is our level of obedience? He did not allow the suffering, the pains, the conflicts in life to dissuade him, to move him away from that rightful cause, from that calling, from that spiritual duties, and the things God has called him for. Today is a day that we recognize the triumphal entry of Christ. It's a day that symbolizes that we also can live triumphantly. And that's why Philippians tells us to set our minds on things above. That we'll have that same mind that Christ had. I don't know the things that are affecting your race, this Christian race. I don't know the things that are also affecting your life, your physical life. What mind do you have? What mind do you live in? Is it a mind that is set to fulfill purpose just like Christ? Or a mind that will waver from right to the left, from the front to the back? Is it the kind of mind you have? Is it a mind that is focused on your calling? In that job you are doing, are you doing it with the mind of Christ? In your family life, Are you doing it with the mind of Christ? If you're expecting triumph over sorrow, over pain, over problems, over the vicissitude of life, over the things that worries you, even the problems people bring to you, the plans of the enemies, the wicked things that are people bring up against you, you need that mind of Christ. Is your mind filled with the spirit of humility, or are you allowing the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, to control you? How is your mind? Are you having an obedient mind or a reprobate one? A mind that does not recognize the lordship of Jesus. A mind that does not even know that there are things called sins. I've heard people stand on raised platforms and tell you that because Jesus has wiped away your former sins, that everything you do today, even if you sin today, it does not matter. Is that the kind of mind you have, a reprobate mind? Your sins doesn't matter. You don't even go and look at yourself and examine yourself whether you are still in the faith. What type of mind do you have? It is only the mind of Christ that can make you to triumph over evil. Do you have the passion for lost souls? And is your mind centered on Christ? Is your mind centered on the work of Christ on the cross? Is your mind centered on your salvation, on your renewal? How do I walk with Christ? How do I make heaven? How do I stop these habits that pulls me down? Or you just go ahead and do what you do. Media, can you project Colossians 3 verse 2 and let us read it together. Colossians 3 verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This is a very clear message. Set your mind, another version says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you to have a triumphant life, you must set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. Jesus' mind was that was triumphant, a mind that made him to be exalted, so that at his name every other name, every knee shall bow. We can only triumphant, as I conclude, only if you are obedient to God. You cannot achieve success or triumph if you don't have the mind of Christ. You cannot live triumphantly except you do away with pride and self-exaltation and become humble just like Christ. You cannot live triumphantly when you debase Jerusalem. Jesus set his mind to enter Jerusalem, and we saw what he did to those that were selling. Brethren, what are you selling? What are you exchanging in the house of God? What are you exchanging in your life? What have you done in the form of corrupting people, even in the house of God, even in your family, even in your workplace? How have people also corrupted you? That is the selling. It's exchange. You take and you give. What are you giving out? What are you giving out? We cannot live triumphantly except we take on the likeness and image of God. And we cannot live triumphantly except if we put our trust in the Lord. At times we ask, can we actually live like Christ? Yes, we can. In Philippians, what we are told, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And if, brethren, you want to live triumphantly, you must set your mind on things above. And that's Christ. And that is Christ. And the conflicts, the problems, the cures, the betrayals you are experiencing in the world will not overwhelm you. I don't know where your mind is set. Can you sincerely say that Jesus is Lord over your life? Can every one of us sincerely say that Jesus is Lord over our life? Where have we set our minds? Can we rise? Can we rise on our feet? Examine yourself. You want to live a victorious life. People are pursuing you. In your workplace, there are problems. You want to get married, you don't see the husband. The ones you see look at you and you look like an owl, what we call ikwikwi in Igbo. I don't know what that problem is in your life. You can only live triumphant if you have Jesus in your life. And if there's anyone here who is here to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, this is an opportunity. It's not coming to church. It's not even carrying the Bible. Yes, we have heard of people. I can't remember, I think they call him Ndabuski. He was talking of the powers that he had. So that tells you that you may be going to the wrong place. You need to have that mind of Christ. I can't remember the things he was mentioning. Look at yourself. What mind do you have? Is it the mind of Christ? Begin to speak to the Lord. Ask God to give you his mind. That you set your mind on him. That every experience that you have having currently that is affecting you negatively, that experience in your family that is affecting you, that you will triumph over them, that you will have victory over them, that you will rejoice over them. Whatever that the devil is doing to hold you down, that because today I have set my mind on Christ, devil, I break that loose. I break your hand. I loose your hand over the lives of everyone here. I loose your hand over everyone here that is being attacked, that his mind has shifted from God because of the problems of life. In the name of Jesus, the name above all name, the name that every knee shall bow to, I command you to let go. I command you to let go. I command you to let go. And the Lord said, as I was delivering this message, he said, there are some persons here. You actually have decided to set your mind on God. You have set your mind on God. There were two specific things that has become a burden that is trying to move you out from that triumphant mind. One of them is a family situation. I don't know the exact family situation, but God says that family situation today, as you put your mind and set your mind on him, as you put your trust in him, God says you will overcome it in the name of Jesus. The second one God specifically said is a job situation. I don't know who that person is, but it's a job situation that is shifting your mind, that you need to triumph over, that is giving you cause of concern, that has made you at times you started asking, am I really serving a living God? I am telling you, Jesus triumphed. Today was a triumphal entry. He entered Jerusalem. And we see people, and we see him being honored. And in Philippians 2, the Bible has told us that if we set our minds on Christ and have the same mind that Jesus had, that at his name every knee shall bow. That knee of oppression shall bow in Jesus' name. That knee of unemployment shall bow in Jesus' name. That knee of confusion shall bow in Jesus' name. That knee of oppression, of seclusion, of redundancy, of limitation shall bow in Jesus' name. that knee of stagnation shall bow in Jesus' name as we set our minds on Christ. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.